the second head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schoen.
The Huskies got 2-1. Bring it up across the line. Ian Smith looking in front. Sasha just scores! Missy it! Put it in!
I am a Ufer.
They flip it up for Reitmeier. He holds it in. Here comes Grayson Reitmeier. He'll shoot! Scores!
I love UP.
Oh, what a play by
in my heart is kidding.
Save it for Misiak. Misiak, wraparound attempt, right to the front of the goal. It's behind him. Scores! It's in the net.
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schoen Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turbo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schoen, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thanks a lot, and time for the Joe Schoen Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning, Dirk. I'm tired. How are you?
I bet you are. It was a tiring, long game, and a fun game, though. The Huskies come away with a sweep at arch-rival Northern Michigan, knock the Wildcats out of the WCHA tournament, and Michigan Tech now will get set to take on one of the top teams of the nation in Minnesota State Mankato at their barn Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, if necessary. And, boy, you guys played so well, Coach, all weekend long, but the stamina they had on Saturday night was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I really I certainly credit the players. You know, we lost Blisser early on in that in the overtimes, and he wasn't able to return. And you know, I really Tyler Schlast and our training staff and everything did an absolutely tremendous job getting these guys ready, that we had legs on a, you know, on a shorter bench, you know, to get through this on the road and get through this on bigger ice, all kinds of things like that. So full credit goes to the players, and full credit goes to the our you know, our strength and conditioning staff and our training staff and the, you know, the doctors that were there with us and helping us out to get through that. It was a, you know, I think we, it was really important that we were able to end that on Saturday. I think it was Sunday would have been a, you know, a crapshoot because of, you know, just with the fatigue and everything.
It was a tremendous game. The crowd was fun both nights, but starting off with Friday night, you know, down in both games, actually. Friday night, they scored the first goal on us, and we were able to tie it up late in that second period. And I just thought that goal late in the second period was so huge for us on Friday night to send it into the second intermission tied and then kind of start with a fresh, clean slate there in the third period and come away with the win.
It was a great play. I believe it was Misiak got the puck to Smitty driving the net. With traffic, and Smitty made a great deflection, and Northern came out in both games. Actually, the last four games we've played them, they came out very hard, trying to establish a forecheck and trying to pressure us as much as they can. And, you know, I thought we handled it pretty well. We came, you know, giving up one goal on Friday. We were down 1-0 after one. Saturday, nothing after one. I thought our guys handled that pressure well. And then as games went on, they balanced out a little bit. But, you know, you go down early. Jurusik did a great job for us, obviously, in keeping us in there. And on Saturday, we just kept answering. We just kept answering. We weren't, not a lot was happening for us offensively. But they would score, and then we would answer relatively quickly in most cases. They would score, we would answer. So I know that we were down 3-2 after two, came out in the third and got a big goal by Ganey. He had he played extremely well for us.
He really did. I was just going to bring him up.
Yeah, he elevated his game. His history is that he's a big-time playoff performer, and, you know, two games on Saturday night for us in that environment in a big playoff game, a series clinching game is huge for us. You know, I have those young freshmen and sophomores do as much as they're doing to support the great job that our upper class has done now in their leadership and in by example and in their play. You know, you just can't ask more for that than that.
You talk about Logan Ganey too, and I believe, if I remember right, both of his goals were, you know, in that hard ice area.
Yeah, traffic areas. Yeah, yeah. He played well. His role elevated as the weekend went on. Friday night, just okay in some ways. Maybe that was more his line total than him. And then Saturday, I just felt very comfortable with him, and he obviously earned it and did a great job for us.
And I continue to say this, but I still think that, that the biggest unsung hero on our team is Justin Misiak. And, you know, we obviously talk about him a lot, yeah, both on the air and off the air. But, you know, he's not the one racking up all the stats. But, boy, I mean, he's the cause of so many good things that happen for us out there.
Yeah, and you're referencing the big goal on Friday, and then the setup goal on Saturday. Yeah. But more importantly, what you're saying is, no matter when someone's not going, I always turn to Justin to get that line going. We moved him to center a couple of weeks ago at Ferris, and that turned a game around for us and got us a victory. We move him to, you know, I put him up on a different line on Friday. It triggers that, and we score that tying goal, and then we end up coming out with a win on that one on Friday. On Saturday, we have to move him back because of an injury. We have to move him back to move him on a different line, a third line completely, and he sets up the game-winning goal. So does so many little things well, don't always, as you mentioned, show up in the points column, but they certainly impact games. And I know every time I talk to Dan Farrell, Misiak always comes up. Boy, that guy gives you so much, mm-hmm, that I think people around here realize, but people nationally would never realize.
You know, I watched that that final goal on Saturday night over and over again, and I mean, as that game was going on, you could see both teams starting to slow down a little bit. And I thought it was a really good coaching move by Grant Pitolny to throw out Schroer out there in that second, or must have been the second overtime, when his team was really starting to slow down. I threw him out there. He hadn't been playing much. And he, much like you guys did, I think, mm-hmm, a couple of years ago with I can't think of who it is now, but anyway, somebody who wasn't playing a whole lot, might have been in the championship game against Bowling Green, when Gavin Gould was thrown out, you guys threw Gavin Gould out there, and you could just instantly see the difference in the pace. Misiak plays the whole game, and he still has that pace. It's just incredible.
Yeah, and all of our guys did. Mm-hmm. You know, Smitty didn't slow down. Our defense didn't slow down. I thought they did a good job. We're being joined now by the hero here that's going to give us a little chat. So, I thought all of it, again, that's why I credit Tyler. I thought we were tired. We looked tired and sluggish to start the game, in my opinion. And then, but when everything balanced out, whether Northern felt a little bit more fatigue, I thought the pace of the game evened out so that there was no team that was faster or clear advantage in that regards. And if anything, I thought we sprung a couple breakaways and things like that. I thought our guys did a great job.
All right. Well, we have Logan Pietl with us, so we're going to take a quick timeout, and we'll come back with him in just a moment. If you have any questions for Coach, email it to us, dj@themix93.com. Logan's going to be here for a little while, so if you want to get a question in really quick for him, feel free to send it on that same email address. It's the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ.
Dreaming up the ideal retirement is your job. Helping you get there is ours. That's why we encourage you to contribute to an IRA by April 15th. By investing in an Edward Jones IRA, you can take advantage of potential tax benefits for 2019 and give your money more time to potentially grow. To help make sense of your retirement goals before the April 15th tax deadline, contact me, John Nelson, your local Edward Jones financial advisor, at 482-8680. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
When you reach for a blue moon,
ignition sequence start, T-minus 5.
You're reaching for a taste,
4.
That goes beyond the ordinary,
3.
Whether you're staying in,
2.
Or having a night out,
1. 0. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Blue Moon is brewed with Valencia orange peel for a flavorful and refreshing taste that shines brighter. Reach for the moon. Blue Moon. Celebrate responsibly.
It's March Madness at your party headquarters of the Copper Country, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. All 6 packs of bottled beer is on sale. All 2 liters are 2 for $3. Canada Dry flavored seltzer 8 packs are 2 for $5. Pepsi 12 packs of cans are 2 for $10. And all 1 1/4 liter Pepsis and Dews are 4 for $5. Check out the frozen food section featuring Red Baron pizzas. Only 3 for $11. All sales at Bucko's Party Store in Calumet do not include tax and deposit.
Joe Schaan Hour continuing here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Special guest student athlete today is the game-winning goal scorer on Saturday night. Kind of a big goal. It is Logan Pietl, Hello, Logan. Welcome to the Joe Sean Hour.
Hey, Doug. Thanks for having me.
Nice day, Logan. I just love how these kids' lives are just, they're focused on school and hockey. Logan comes in here, he goes, so you guys do this every Monday?
That's awesome, isn't it?
That's awesome.
It's engineering major.
I know, these
so
smart kids.
Yeah.
Why would they?
Himself up. His dad's an engineering major, and it's awesome.
Well, we'll do the goals a little bit later on, Logan, but just, you know, we talked to you right after the game, and I know things were just chaotic and happy and all that stuff, but now that you had a couple of days to kind of let this sink in, what are your thoughts on that whole marathon of a game and then obviously your game winner?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like you said, it just kind of went by quick and everything kind of blurred together, but it's just a game. I mean, it was a long game, but we're just kind of, I mean, I'm just trying to focus on the next game, and I'm sure all the other guys are getting ready for next weekend.
So how are you holding up? I know everybody was doing a good job of hydrating and bananas and all that stuff. Did you have any cramping at all or anything like that going on?
No, I was okay, and I mean, I'm sure, I don't know about all the other guys, but everyone was kind of doing their own thing and just doing what they needed to do to stay ready to get out there.
And so take us through the play. I mean, we did it after the game there too, but Misiak again finds some way to get somebody open and score.
Yeah, he came down the wall and actually made a really great move after I watched it, and he kind of opened up the D and made a great pass to me, and I just kind of shot it and it went in. But yeah, Misiak made a great play on that.
Now, if you watch the video, you could see you slap your stick on the ice. Did you also yell to him?
Yeah, I called for it. I'm not sure if he heard me or not, but I just kind of gave it a stick tap, and yeah, he saw me, made a great play. Yeah, I think it was all Misiak there.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, it was a great shot, too. You went top shelf, and your stick clashed with, I think, your Remco's stick as you released that puck. I don't know if he got a piece of that puck to send it up higher or if that was right off of your stick, but there was a loud crack that both of your sticks hit.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't sure. I'm not really sure what happened. It might have deflected off him and went above the goalie's glove. Maybe that's why it went in. But.
And you said after the game you didn't even know it went in at first.
Yeah, I didn't really see it. I mean, I saw Parentino celebrate a little bit, and yeah, I just kind of took that as it went in.
No, I saw it.
Yeah. I mean, we had the perfect angle.
Yeah.
Right. And most of our goals, Coach, this weekend, or a lot of them, I mean, we were really painting the posts on some nice shots.
So were they.
They were, too.
Yeah, so were they.
Absolutely.
It was just a good series.
So, Logan, let's talk a little bit about, I guess, other than this series, you come into Michigan Tech, you and your brother, and identical twins, and I know there's been a lot made about you guys coming here to Michigan Tech, another set of Piedolas, because there's been so many on this program, but take us through your high school, your junior hockey, and your mission here, your route to Michigan Tech.
Yeah, Blake and I, we've kind of always just played together. I mean, where he's gone, I've gone, and just growing up playing AAA together in Michigan. We've always just wanted to play together, and then juniors, we actually got split up for 2 years, and it was kind of different, going to go on our own, do our own things, and then we both ended up here, and it's, Michigan Tech's kind of where me and Blake have always wanted to play, great school and great organization. We've had some cousins that played here, my dad went in here, it's just the place where we've always wanted to be, and it's just kind of great that we've ended up here together.
Now, I think I know the bloodline pretty well of the Piedolas, but remind people who, in case I'm wrong, too, I don't want to say it, remind people your relation to the other Blake Piedola that was here, of course, Aaron and Chad. Blake and Chad were brothers. Aaron was a cousin. Can you kind of give us a scope of where your relation is to those?
Yeah, I think I don't know at all exactly, but I think all of those are just second cousins.
Okay.
Blake's, second cousin. Joel Esperance, I believe, is a second cousin. So no first cousins or immediate family that's came through here. But, yeah, my dad went to school here.
So growing up, obviously a Red Wings fan, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite player while you were growing up in NHL?
I like Pavel Datsyuk,
mm-hmm,
when he's on the Wings. I think that's probably for the Wings, probably my favorite player.
Coach, do you see a lot of similarities between Logan and Tommy Parentino, where they're not real big guys, but their strength is, I think, deceptive, and their speed is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
No? You're not saying that?
No, I think they're, I see differences, but I think he's got I think the player that he liked best, he has a lot of similarities to. He's a good player. Logan's very cerebral in the way he plays. I remember watching him, and I just absolutely loved he and Blake. Back in when they were playing for CompuWare, they were playing for a guy by the name of Chris Tamer. Mel had coached Chris at Michigan, and Chris was coaching the Compuware Midget Minor, right? Midget Minor when you won the national tournament.
Yep.
And that's where I know I first recruited him. I liked him. I remember talking to them outside the rink after a game down in Detroit area, and that's where I really got to know Chris Tamer, but just an absolutely unbelievable, classy guy. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Great, great coach. Quiet. He was a tough guy. He was actually really played on the edge when he played in college and in the NHL. And you'd think he'd be a lot bigger than he actually was, but he's got a really quiet poise to him. So I really got to appreciate him and respect him, and his praise for these guys was just off the charts in his quiet way of what they offered as far as the character of the team. And then when you get guys that come from championship pedigree, you know, winning national tournaments and things like that at the AAA level and at high levels, that's something we've talked about that before. That's something that everybody has to learn at some point. If you're going to win a championship, you have to win a championship. And when they come in with being players that impacted teams that did that, it's a big deal. And Logan and Blake certainly did that. They have that championship pedigree in performing at the right time. So, but I do remember the very first game I saw them play, and how smart Logan was. And, you know, we thought he was a national team development player. We thought they both were actually, that they'd be, that they were in that quality because of how they impacted the game.
So I'm trying to ask questions, Logan, from a fan's point of view, because I know people listening want to know these type of things. So I want you to compare, if you can, the GLI championship game and this game against Northern Michigan. Little apples to oranges, I understand, but compare it for you.
Yeah, for me, I mean, they're obviously both like kind of cool in their own way, but yeah, I think scoring a couple goals at the GLI ranks a little higher than this. But I mean, anytime you can get an overtime winner, sending the guys going on is a great feeling, and I'm just excited to keep playing more hockey.
So, how do you focus then for the next series? I mean, how do you get your mind right here in the next Monday through Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and ready to go?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the same every week. We're going to practice with a little bit of compete. We're not going to set back at all. Just keep trying to get better and just develop and, yeah, just bring our best and keep rolling. I mean, I think we're starting to pick up a little bit here, and I just can't wait to keep going.
You know, going back to the Paratina, the way I see these two, what I notice about both of them is their ability to, once they get the puck in traffic, get that separation. Logan seems to be a guy that just instantly knows where to go to get that separation.
I see what you're saying on that, and that's a big deal. That's something that we talk about all the time. It's, you know, it's one thing. I thought in a lot of areas we raced and we talked to it about a group. As a group, I thought we were racing in a lot of ways, and our speed was really being used in a lot of ways early in the series or early in games to get to support ice. What you need to do is you need to make that time, and that was to make time and space to make a play, to make it more comfortable to make a play. And what you're saying about these two is, and Gainey showed that this weekend, is the ability to make those, to create that time and space and make those plays in traffic. And that's the Datsuk type of thing. That's the difference in games. Working your way into traffic areas and then being able to make those plays, which oftentimes is creating just a little bit of separation, as Logan did on the winning goal. I mean, he popped into a slot, tapped his stick, timed it with Misiak making a couple cutbacks there. That's a great play by two very good hockey players, and then he made the shot. If he's just standing there in Northern Michigan man for man coverage, they're gonna pick him up. A guy's, Yaremko's gonna be on him quicker, but he gets that, he pops, taps his stick, gets that quick separation. Yaremko then has to recover. Timing's perfect. Just enough time to get that shot on net. So that's what hockey players do. And that's where I thought we slipped a little bit. And I think that's kind of what you're saying a little bit too, is that Paratino will get into that, to those traffic areas and make a play. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes with him, it's one-on-one, or separation on getting into critical ice and going for those breakaways and things like that. Logan's a little bit different, that he does it by beating a couple guys. You know, remember a week ago, against Northern, he stick handled through three, four guys all alone when we were changing lines and late in the game and got in tight or it was actually early in the third period that could have tied that game. We ended up ultimately tying it, but he beat their whole team and got in on goal and made a play. So he has that ability to make those differences, and Paratino has that same similarity. I see what you mean.
So, Logan, growing up with Blake and, you know, you guys being identical twins, when did he decide he was going to be a goaltender?
In the womb.
Yeah, I don't, when we were younger, when, like, our, I don't know how young we were, but we'd have, like, we didn't have a goalie, and we'd just kind of switch. I think it was maybe, like, every weekend or a week for who would play goalie. And right. I think Blake picked it up, and he just wanted to stay like that. I think that's how I remember it. I don't know if that's exactly how it was. But, yeah, he played it once or twice and just loved it and wanted to keep going with it.
You both seem so easygoing, you know, off the ice. Is there a lot of ribbing that goes on between you two, a lot of competition as you were growing up and even now?
Yeah, there for sure is. I mean, we still fight. I don't know, depending on what it is. But, yeah, we like to get after each other and just kind of pick on each other. But it's all fun, and we just, yeah, just want the best for each other.
They are competitive. I know a situation earlier in the year where I believe it was you, but it might have been your brother, but one of you was dinged, and I asked, it was in the locker room or on the bus or something, how do you feel? Are you okay? And the other one said, he's fine. Oh, it was something. What happened? Something happened.
We were working out, I think.
Yeah. He's fine. Oh, that's right. One year we got, Tyler put you through the ringer a little bit, yeah. And had your head in the bucket, mm-hmm. getting rid of breakfast. And he's fine. Get back at it. Let's go. So that competitiveness is pushy. That's what makes them great players.
Yeah. Logan Pietl is with us. He's the game-winning goal scorer for Michigan Tech. I'm just going to run through some of the goals throughout the games. Let's start with Friday night's game. The Northern Michigan Wildcats got on the board first to make it 1-0.
It's loose, brings it to the front. Here's Sorensen with a shot. Score! Well, that all started with the Huskies. Jerusik maybe played that puck when he shouldn't have, and it kept the puck inside of the zone. And a nice play by Schultz right up front for Sorensen at the point. Misiak bringing it down. Justin Misiak dropped the pass there for Smith, but couldn't make the play as it was just too slow getting back to Smith. And the Huskies will bring it right back across the line. Here's a chance for to the front of the goal. Score! And Swoyer up in the box. So it'll be 5-on-5 here in just a moment. Logan Pietl got it to the front. Score! What a goal by the Huskies right off of the faceoff to take their first lead of the game. It is Tommy Tarantino. Him and the Huskies a 2-1 lead.
That was Tommy's first goal of the game right there. That obviously ended up being the game winner. You were the centerman on that play. Logan, take us a little bit through what happened. Again, very similar to yours at the end there, and it happened so quick.
I just won the drawback. I don't know if it went, I think it went directly to the side, and it was just kind of like a tie, and Pantino won the stick battle there against the winger, the defenseman, not sure who it was, tapped it through him and made a great shot. I mean, that was a great play by Pantino. He's been doing that all night.
On a 4-on-4 play.
Yeah, on a 4-on-4.
So we had a face-off alignment was a little bit different.
Yeah, it was.
So he brought the puck, Logan brought the puck to the inside instead of trying to draw it back.
Mm-hmm. Amazing that, you know, that was a 4-on-4 goal, as you mentioned, but no power play goals the whole weekend for either team. Are you a little surprised at that, Coach?
No.
No?
No, there's, no, I'm not. It's, we'd like to have gotten a couple, and I'm sure they would like to have got a couple too, but no, it's playoff hockey.
All right, so let's quickly hear the final two goals of the third period for Paratino. He got the first one there, and then he gets the natural hat trick.
He's going to be careful. There's a shot. Flipped up. Rebound. He's cleared and tipped out by Michigan. Set Paratino. Paratino hustling to the loose puck. Paratino is into the empty net. Scores! Tommy Paratino with an empty net goal. Huskies go up by 2-3-1 with a minute 12 remaining in the third period. Bolton centers it back for Ballou. A shot blocked by the Huskies. Not out, though. Back up top again. Ballou sends it down. Intercepted by Michigan Tech. And it's close outside of the zone. Paratino. He's looking for a hat trick. Empty net. Paratino scores! Hat trick for Paratino. His second of the season.
And the way Paratino put that last goal in there was very Tommy Paratino, you know, not trying to ham it up at all, not trying to disrespect the other team, just put it in there. It reminds you of
actually
like,
didn't shoot it. He just let it.
He let it
off
go.
The stick handle. He
absolutely.
Just let it go and then just made sure that no one could get in and
absolutely.
Take it away.
Very Barry Sanders.
Listen to the crowd, hey?
Yeah.
Some pep bands going right away on it. Sounded like a home game.
Yeah, the atmosphere was great at the Barry Event Center. So 4-1 final on Friday night. The Huskies with the win and then a chance to to end the series on Saturday night. We knew it wasn't going to be easy, and the Wildcats again on Saturday night get the first goal of the game.
Back to the point, tipped out by the Wildcats, and Dadema got misplayed on that one. Coming back, Slattery, he'll take the shot, score!
Huskies got caught a little bit on that one. Matt Jerusik probably would want that one back, but a nice shot by Slattery. And the Wildcats, for the second straight night, take the first lead of the game.
What kind of happened on that play, Coach, after their first goal? Do you remember?
I remember just a very good shot. I thought Northern made a couple of very good shots on that play. It was a kind of an off wing. They picked it. I believe that one was blocker side. But I thought it was a very good shot.
The Huskies then tied up.
And Crespi across the line. Huskies bring it in. Crespi to the front of the goal. Gets it there. Knocked out of the play. Was Ganey. Rebound is right there. Crespi spinning away for traffic. Hands it off now to Colin Sawyer. Back for Crespi. His shot did not get through. Sawyer to the front. Loose puck is there. Ganey trying to score. And he does. Logan Ganey with the goal. And the Huskies tie it up. 1-1 with 11:49 left to go in the period.
Logan Ganey scores later on, too.
He's off inside the Michigan Tech zone. Gontus with it now. In behind the Michigan Tech goal. Back to the point. Shot by Newhouse. That one was blocked by the Huskies. Back to the way. Tarantino on a partial break. Brings it in. Shoots. Scores! How about Tommy Tarantino this weekend? His fourth goal of the weekend. And we are tied again. 2-2.
So that was Paratino's fourth of the weekend, and as you heard, tied 2-2 right there. And Logan Ganey did have another goal. I don't have it up here right now, but Michigan Tech getting the game to a 3-3 score and into overtime. I wanted to go back to the goal that was called good and then disallowed. And if you guys, if you had a hunch at the time of the goal, whether or not that was offside or not, which they ended up ruling that it was for Bretzman.
Yeah, I thought it was a good goal. I didn't really see the offsides. I mean, obviously the refs are there on the line, and if they saw it was off. But yeah, I thought it was going to be a good goal.
Coach, do you have any thoughts?
You look at it; it's hard to tell. They weren't really looking, in fairness, for it ultimately wasn't whether he was. He was certainly behind. He was on the line. His foot was on the line, like. In line with being on the line, the whole question is whether his foot was on the ice or off the ice.
Right.
If it's off, if it was off the ice, then his lead foot was over the line. It's offsides. If it was on the ice, then it's a good play. So that's the whole thing they were looking for. And you know, it's with the views that we have, hard to tell. It's hard for us to tell. They must have had views that were that showed them what they felt that they needed to see to overturn the goal.
I thought it was an incredible shot, though, by Bretzman.
Yeah.
I mean, again, right inside of the post.
And very similar, again, to the first one that you talked about with Slattery. Those are good shots.
Mm-hmm.
I think, he hammered it. I actually thought that they were looking initially. I didn't even think of the offsides. I thought they were looking to see if it went in the net. When Botts came to the bench, I said, I asked, did it go in? He said, yeah, it went in. They're looking at offsides because it looked to me like it went post to post or maybe even post crossbar post so quick. But it did go over the line, I guess.
Yeah, we had a better angle than you did. Yeah. We were able to see it go right in the net just inside of the post there. And it actually did touch the post, as you mentioned there. But pretty incredible. But it was disallowed. We go to overtime, and then we go to another overtime. And Logan Pietola is the game-winning goal scorer.
Huskies will send out Pietola to take the draw. Remember, Michigan Tech is without Trenton Bliss. Huskies win it back. Misiak mishandled it. Gets it back, though. Misiak in front. Here's a score! Oh, yeah! Pietola, the game winner in overtime! How about that? The Huskies win it! 4-3 with 15:19 left. Top shelf, Logan Pietola. It's over! The Huskies are moving on with a sweep here at the Barry Event Center.
So, Logan, how much of just a sense of relief was there when you scored that goal? Like, oh, we're done. We can go and shower up and get this thing over with.
No, it's for sure a good feeling. I mean, I'm sure a lot of the guys were exhausted. That's almost like playing two games.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, it was kind of a relief to get that in, but it was a great feeling to know that we were going on.
You know, with all the chances that were going on between the two teams, I said during at the start of the first overtime, I said, there is no way this is going to go 20 minutes. And then it went another 20 minutes and even into the third overtime. But, Paratino with a breakaway, they had that wide open net there, I think, in the first or second overtime. Just incredible.
Yeah, actually, I think it was the first overtime.
Was it?
It was down at the far end.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And a quick pass to the backside of the post, or, and I still would like to see an overhead view on how that puck did not go in the net, but you know, that's what happens. And Paradino finally got stopped by Kent, who Kent I thought played well all weekend long.
He did. He did a good job.
You know, and Paradino had his number, obviously, and but not in that overtime or second overtime or whenever it was. So, well, congratulations, Logan. We really. Really were pumped on that goal, obviously, and just the way you played. I mean, you know, you started off goal scoring slow this season, as a lot of freshmen do, and then all of a sudden that that Great Lakes Invitational with the three goals was huge, and you've been a force ever since. It's got to be a completely different halves of the season for you from that first half to the second half.
Yeah, I mean, I just think you just got to keep working at it, and if things aren't going your way, just keep pushing, doing the same things, don't really change much. I mean, some pucks are starting to go in, but just got to keep working hard, and team's been playing great, so we just got to keep rolling.
Anything else for him, Coach?
No, that line has been tremendous for us. Paratino, I mean, he was maybe had 6 points at the break or something like that. He's up over 20 now. Logan, I'd like to see him get a couple more points and get to 20. That'd be a great freshman season, a 20-point season. It's still been a great freshman year with the big quality goals he's got. Blisser's exploded in a lot of ways in the second half. So the line's been extremely productive for us, getting a lot of attention as well.
Yeah, well, Logan, I think you're at 19, at least 19 points right now, so you're right there. Congratulations again. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. You guys are off of school this week?
Yep.
Off of school this week, so you get to really just concentrate on hockey, which is kind of nice. And
one thing that's neat, I do want to say, I think we've talked about this before, but I think I'm going to talk to Cal about this. It'll be a great story before this gets all done. There's five cousins on our team. There's five of them. There's two brothers. David Reisenden's related to them. Todd Killinen's related to them. And Brian Hallinen. And when you see these guys together and how, I mean, they're all unbelievable men. You know, they're men. They're not goofy. They're all men, serious and focused. And it's kind of neat. Five of them. You know, I'd take 10 more of them. They're you know, they just do such a great thing for our program. Five cousins on the same team.
Yeah, it is amazing. Do your parents make most of the games?
Yeah, they came to a lot this year, actually. My grandparents come as well. They just make it when they can, but
sure.
Yeah, a lot of great support.
It's
got
to be pretty cool playing in front of them, though.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a great feeling.
And meeting Kurt, their dad, I expected him to be, you know, I know Bob, Blake, the other Blake Piddle, his dad and things, and I know so many of them. I expected him to be kind of, you know, insurance-y, because so many of them work in the insurance business, things like that, and he's a rugged dude. I mean, like, he's a little different than the normal ones that you see. You can see he's outdoorsy. You can see where when he played, he probably had some good bite to him. He's no nonsense kind of guy. I like that, because you know, these guys, that's why these kids have a mental toughness and things about them too, because of their mother and father, you know, that puts that into them. But it's neat, you know, I was kind of taken aback, like, he's kind of, you know, comes across a little Duck Dynasty-ish, like, pretty quiet and let's get at it. I like that. And then I've heard since then that, you know, when he played, he was somebody you had to keep your head up for. So I like that.
Yeah, I think I got them all. So Phil obviously played for the Huskies back in over 14, 15 years ago. He's doing the broadcast, a lot of the broadcast. Phil Piano, we've got the two brothers in Blake and Chad. And then we talked about Aaron. And then these two, I think I got them all since I've been doing the games, all the pianolism. Am I missing anybody?
Yeah, I think there was a Cavisto. Is he related to you guys?
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
I'm just talking about the pianolism.
I got you. Just pianolism.
Yeah, I'm just talking
about
pianolism.
There's a lot of these guys related.
Oh, I know that. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, we ran
I
out.
Never knew that they were all related until after Christmas. I think we were in Arizona talking, and it was like they're all together. And I'm like, now, how many of you guys are related? All of us. Because we were all together in the van, you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
All of us.
Well, we joke around, too, Logan, behind you guys' back. We joke around that Piedolas have run out of names. That's why Blake has been recycled.
On my phone, his brother is Blake 2. Because the other Blake is Blake 1. So on my phone, when it comes up, it's Blake 2.
Yeah. All right, Logan, we'll let you go. Thanks again for coming in. Congratulations on the big game winner. That one's going to go down in history as one of the biggest goals ever for Michigan Tech. And we wish you all the best of luck. Good luck this weekend.
Yep, thanks, Dirk.
Logan Piedola here on Mix 90. We've got more coming your way here on the Joe Schaan Hour, including your questions. Stay tuned.
Here's the thing about new Cherry Vanilla Coke. Though cherry's named first, all the flavors taste just as great. I mean, the name could have just as easily been Vanilla Cherry Coke, or it could have been Coke Cherry Vanilla. But since it's two amazing flavors of Coke, It could have also been Coke Vanilla Cherry Coke or Cherry Vanilla Coke Coke. Who wants a delicious vanilla Coke? Unless you're in France, which would make it Le Coke de la Vanilla de la Cherry de la Creme. Which about covers it all. New Cherry Vanilla Coke. So good together. And new Cherry Vanilla Coke Zero Sugar. Same great taste as Zero Sugar.
Introducing new Cherry Vanilla Coke. A new and incredible combination of your favorite flavors. Grab an ice cold bottle of new Cherry Vanilla Coke or new Cherry Vanilla Coke Zero Sugar. Experience the delicious flavors of Cherry Vanilla Coke today. Cherry Vanilla Coke. So good together.
Using an overpriced trash bag?
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks?
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag?
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
You gotta snag Hefty's Ultra Strong Trash Bag. Always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
It has Arm & Hammer odor control, so your nose and your wallet will be...
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong Trash Bags. Hefty strong all day long.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Attention Walmart shoppers. This is a Jackson Hewitt Tax Service announcement. Save time and money with Jackson Hewitt and Walmart. For a limited time, you can shop while a skilled Jackson Hewitt Tax Pro prepares your federal tax return for as little as $48, but no more than $149, only at Jackson Hewitt and Walmart. Hurry, this offer won't last. Get your coupon code and terms at jacksonhewitt.com. Then stop by one of our Walmart locations by March 15th to get your taxes done while you shop for only $149 or less. That's Jackson Hewitt and Walmart.
Michigan Tech hockey is what we're talking about. The Joe Schon Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. The next opponent is Minnesota State Mankato. Friday night, 8:07 face-off with a 7:30 pregame can be heard here on Mix 93 WKMJ. The Huskies with a couple of losses against one of the top teams in the nation earlier this season. It seemed like thinking back to that series against the Mavericks, seems like a different season, Coach. It doesn't even seem like this same season. We only have played them twice. It seems like it's been a long time ago. And no doubt about it, we'll have to play our best hockey if we're gonna beat this team. But yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, they're extremely well, best in the nation. defensively, breaking all kinds of records. 1.3 something maybe goals against average on the year. They don't give up very much at all, and it's hard to get pucks by them. We had actually a pretty good series against them here. I think one game was a 2-1 game, and the other one was, I believe, 3-0. But it was they got something in the third, so it was actually pretty good hockey. But they are a lot better on their home ice than they are on the road. They're good enough on the road, but on their home ice, they're a pretty dominant team.
There just doesn't seem to be
there's no weakness.
A vulnerable spot with them, right? Goaltending, no. Defense, they have it all. Power play.
No, they have. I've said before, they have players sitting out, players that aren't cracking the lineup for them that would be top six on every other team, certainly in the league, and on many, if not most, teams in the country. They have extremely good players. Van Osha isn't established as a regular in lineup. He's 120 something points in Canadian Junior Hockey Player of the Year when he came up. He's a sophomore now, maybe even a junior now. But it's tough. They have firepower throughout. The thing that's impressive about them, first of all, they're extremely well coached, but there is no soft skill in their lineup. Like, if you look at it and you say, okay, who is just a skill player that is exposed a bit defensively, they don't have that. Everybody competes. Even their low-end, the guys that aren't known as high-end compete guys, compete and win battles. So they do a great job with that team. They've got they've got it going where they keep bringing in guys and keep that pressure on. They've got their depth established, and that's a big deal. So they not only have talent, pulling guys. We talk about that, the leaders at the top pulling other guys to want to be that. They've got guys out of the lineup pushing to get in. So that just increases their competitiveness and their overall talent base.
The culture there is tremendous. Mike has done a great job in creating such a great culture with those, and that these guys that certainly could have made some money already going pro, they have come back to try to win something. And Mark Michaelis and Toomey, the two German kids that have 44 and 37 points respectively. I guess, Coach, without saying too much, how do you try to? What's our best approach to shutting these guys down?
Well, we have to compete with them. That's the biggest thing. We have to, you know, compete with them. We're good defensively as well. So we have to, and the biggest thing, excuse me again, the biggest thing is, like we said, going in, you've got to keep the number one power play in the league and maybe in the country. You know, you've got to not let them get involved. And that's, you know, even here, if you look at it, the Buckley Major, it's a 1-1 game or we're up 1-0, you know, fairly late in the second period. And you know, a 1-on-1 play results in Buckley getting Bucks getting a 5-minute major and thrown out and them getting a 5-minute power play and they score a couple times on it and it's a difference in the game. So, in a 2-1 game, you have to take those moments out. You have to get quality officiating. They have to, you know, make sure that they realize that, you know, you hope that they realize that we're the lowest penalized team in the league, 5th, I believe, in the country in penalties. We play a competitive game, but we play a clean game and that you don't look for opportunities to put us in the box. That'll be important. You know, enough things are going to happen against a team that pressures so hard. We just need to make sure that we balance those off, much like we did 2 years ago. We, you know, the first 2 games 2 years ago, there are 5 penalties total. You know, we come out 1-1, we lose a 2-1 game the first night, win the second night, and the third game, all of a sudden, is a penalty fest, and you're, you know, I won't even get into that, but you shake your head at it. It was just a change, and you wonder why. You know, why would it change? That can't happen if we're going to have success. We happen to get through that at that time with the defense that we had, with Birksie back there, with Ock back there, with Renke back there. We have good defense now, but we don't want to go through that well again.
Goaltending, we talked about their goaltending. Dryden McKay, 37 games played. His winning percentage is 86.1%. His save percentage is at 94.2. I mean, just
I'd like to know what the record is in the NCAA for playing, you know, 30 games. It'd be incredible to know what that save percentage is, because this is as complete a team as you'll ever see in college hockey.
Wanted to talk really quick, Coach, about the other WCHA series in the first round, as we saw that the Lake Superior State Lakers took Bemidji State, which I thought they might, to a third game, and you know, when anything could happen. But again, the well-coached and well-disciplined Beavers were able to come up with a victory there.
Yeah, they got it. Yes, last night, I think it was 3-1 with an empty net. Lake State scored early in the third. That would have made things different. We'd be going to Bowling Green had Lake State won that game. You know, you give them credit for the way that they competed, and Bowling Green needs that. It's important in our league that we get teams in the national tournament. I don't know. They were 13th going in after the loss on Saturday. Maybe they got to 12th last night with the win. I'm not sure where they're at now in the pairwise, but you certainly want them to get in the national tournament. And you know, Mankato's already in the national tournament, and we're hoping that we, you know, in a lot of ways, it's probably, it would be better for Mankato in the long run, possibly. I've seen it in the past. Should we get by them? And then, because they're already in the national tournament, they're going to be a top 4 seed, and it gives them that week of rest to refocus and get rested and get ready to go.
I think if we ask them,
well, it so often benefits. Yeah. Like, I've seen that. Miami, I was, when I was coaching at Northern, we went into Miami. They were number 1 in the country overall, first place in the league. And we beat them, and they ended up going. They had in the championship game of the national tournament. They had BU 2-0 with a minute left in the game.
I saw that many times. I watched that replay.
Gave up 2 late ones, and then all of a sudden, BU won in overtime, and yeah, it's over. And Miami never has since to get back to the national championship game. They had things rolling, but that rest and everything, I think, benefited them. So I've seen that happen several times where a team loses out, and then they. And then they, it helps them.
One series that I was very confident that the visiting team would win did, in what was a number 4 seed against the number 5 seed. So you never know what's going to happen there. And it was Bowling Green coming out with 2 wins there up in Fairbanks.
Yeah, and they seemed to, you know, they took care of business there. They got their power play opportunities. They're 26%, if not over 26% now on the power play. They have a good power play with some good talent, and they utilize that every time they needed to. The first game was tied, and they got 2 late goals on the power play. And then the second one was tied, and they got the go-ahead goal on the power play, and then we were able to win that one. So I thought that series could go either way, to be honest with you.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it just happened to fall the way that Bowling Green wanted to. And then obviously Mankato, Anchorage gave them a good game. Two late goals on Saturday, by Mankato to win a 4-2 game. They handled them pretty easy on Friday. So I actually thought all three series is, had a great chance of going three games other than the Mankato series, and only one of them did, but I thought there was a chance that the others could.
By the way, you were asking, Bemidji State is number 12 still in the pairwise rankings.
So they went from 13 to 12
again.
Yeah,
started off the weekend, I think, at 10, then the loss, yeah. And then, yeah. So in North Dakota right now, number one. Minnesota State is number two in the pairwise right now, and that'll be the opponent for the Huskies coming up this weekend. And again, I think Dave Ellis did some research. The Huskies have never beaten Northern five times in one season like we have this season. This is the first time that's ever happened. Michigan Tech taking five out of six games against the Wildcats and winning all four down at the Berry Event Center. Pretty incredible. All right, Coach, I guess let's get a couple of questions in here if we can. I don't have a whole lot. We got a couple. Yeah, we do. More coming in. First question is, Coach, and you, I guess we would expect this one, and I've already asked you, what can you tell us, if anything, about Trenton Bliss's condition and where he's at right now?
I don't have, that's a doctor's. We'll focus on who we have, not on who we don't have. We certainly want him to be in the lineup, but we'll let the doctors do what they do on that.
The follow-up question on this, Coach, if he's not able to go, are there a couple of guys battling for that spot position for him?
Yeah, we'll figure that out as we go during the week.
Okay. And this next question, Coach, it seems like Crespi was everywhere all the time. It seems like he's coming into his own and doing a lot more. What were your thoughts on Crespi throughout the weekend?
I thought he played well on Saturday. I thought he did a really good job. Jake's biggest deal is his attention to detail and maintain focus. He's got every tool he needs in the toolbox as far as skill set to be a dominant player. I've told him that many times. He's got explosive speed. He's got good hands. He's got good vision. He's got a good release in his shot. He's got more than ample size and strength. He's the guy that reminds me really more of Tommy Parentino with his ability. He can be a game breaker. He's got to mentally, compete. Challenge himself and compete and really focus on getting better every single day. So his deal right now is just making sure that mentally he's developing a toughness that a resiliency which will lead to an understanding of the game that will propel him. And so he's not just relying on his talent. You know, that rink is made for probably in a lot of ways for a guy like him, but still you have to, you know, understand the game and figure it out, and that's where he's still working on that and getting better at it all the time.
All right. Well, we're getting more questions, Coach, and some of the controversial rulings on the ice here, so I don't know how much you want to delve into this, but this listener says, while watching the game on Flow Hockey on Saturday, they mentioned that the goal, which they have Grayson here, but that was Bretzman. Bretzman was close. Then after that, somebody said that they saw film in a different angle than what the refs may have seen, that it looked like it was a good goal on the non-offside. The question to you, Coach, and again, I don't know if I want to answer this or not, but why don't the refs have access to that film? And second, do the refs get held responsible if indeed it was deemed the wrong call?
Well, the first thing, I'll just answer it the way that it wasn't. The question, I don't believe, was whether or not his leg was behind the line or at least on the line. The question is whether his foot was on the ice or not, or whether it was lifted from his stride. I think that's what the question is, and you know, it's all you can say is you hope that the evidence was conclusive. It's easy, you know, it's easy for me on all these types of things, these controversies, and we've had so many. What I actually look at, as far as trying to be a leader in things, is what I try to look at is how it's easy to handle it after the fact when you have success. You know, thankful, humble. It's how you handle it when you don't have success. And that's what I always try to think to myself. How would I be? Would I be complaining? Would I be, you know, if we don't have success? I try to be objective in those regards, in that I am the only coach in the league that has, and historically at Michigan Tech, has had a poorer rating for the officials on games that we've won than games that we lost. Normally when you win, you come out happy. That's my biggest issue with the officiating, is that things happen when we win, when we're up. When we're losing, things seem to go fine. Game never ends with the other team on the power play, you know, things like that. When we're winning, it's when garbage happens. And that's my question. Why does that happen so often? So on this, we won, gracious and humble and things like that. How would I feel if we lost? I'd look at this more. I don't really care really right now about that, other than what I just said. If it impact, I don't want things to impact a game that shouldn't impact a game by, for whatever agenda or reason happens. That's my biggest deal on all this stuff. So I know that's what they were looking at. You have to hope that they're conclusive, on what they saw, and, and you go from there.
All right. Well, and we're getting all kinds of these, so I'll throw these out there and get answered if you want. This is regarding the slash call against the Northern Michigan player in the second overtime. This listener just wants to know, Coach, was there ever an explanation to you on whether or not it was considered, or why it was not considered, a 5-minute major?
Well, I'll tell you what happened with that. He wouldn't even look at the bench. If you notice, one time I slammed the door, and I haven't even, in 3 years here, I've never even been warned that, Coach, one more word and you're getting a bench minor. I think that there's enough against Michigan Tech that I'm not going to. I always said to Mel, and I've said this, I always thought it was Mel. I always thought it was something that happened between Mel and the officials, or Mel and the head of the officials before I got here, that relayed to some of the crazy things that I'd seen happen in officiating that I've never seen anywhere before. When I leave, I'll feel the same way, that the things I saw at Michigan Tech make your head spin, make your head shake. I wanted to have the official review that. I wanted to call my timeout and have the official review that. That's why I slammed the door, like, and he wouldn't even look at me. They've gone over to Northern's bench several times. They wouldn't even condone. So it was near the end of the period. He comes over at the end of the period, and this is what gets me. He says, Joe, I wasn't about to go towards you. There is no video review request by coaches in the playoffs. I knew that was the case for goals, that they were automatically, we didn't have to burn a timeout on that, but I thought that was more of an aid for the coaches. I didn't know that there was no availability to review a call. That's what he told me. And he said, and here's his exact words to me, because I've seen it, people have sent me, I bet you I've gotten 50 different pictures of me with my reaction after the whistle, you know, my hands on my head. And he actually said to me, I was not going to review that. There are no requests. I was not going to review it. You guys are mugging that poor little man. That's what the comment was, because it was Laughlin. You guys are mugging that poor little man. And I put my hands on my head, and I said, whoa. I said it like 4 times. I couldn't believe the comment I was hearing. I said to him, do you know that he hit an official a week ago? Are you guys aware of that? Are you prepped at all on the series? I said, all right, we can't review it. I get it. So I sent a note to the league office and have asked, because it was not discussed on the playoff conference call, nor was it discussed, nor is it mentioned like that in the manual. But obviously that's the precedent that's set, that you cannot ask for supplemental, because I sent it into the league. I'm going to go right on record and saying, and the reason I sent that into the league was one thing. We have had at least a half a dozen instances with this one player this year that were not just maliciously disrespectful to the game, but dangerous to our players. The slew foot that started the 6-on-6 brawl at Marquette, if you recall. Ganey got a two-hand slash over the head on Friday night, over the back of the shoulders when he was going in on goal. Made it look like it looked like I'm falling down, but he hit him with a overhand two-hand slash in the back. Ray Bryce was kicked. There was a butt end on earlier in the year in November, butt end on Donahue. There was a two-hand slash on Suretsky when he laid down after that, and the referee came over to me and said, Joe, if I was throwing anybody out, you guys didn't do anything, I'd be throwing him out. And I'm like, well, why aren't you throwing him out then? So I wanted to go on record. This is dangerous now, because I know that other teams have sent it into the league as well. That's the reason I sent the clips into the league and asked, okay, all the coaches need to know there is no review, because I don't want to go to Mankato now, and because this happens so often, is I'm told one thing and then the same thing happens. Well, George, you know, you were given wrong information. If you can't if that would have been looked at, then maybe they would have changed the call. He said he wasn't looking at it because, I mean, I already covered that. I'm not going to get into that again. So obviously the rule is that there are no more reviews. So I asked the league, clarify that. And I am sending this in. The primary reason is to protect my employer and myself in the future. If something happens, I want it to be on record that we have multiple instances, multiple times sent it to the league, was never addressed by the league. Now, my gut feeling is that on this one, they will issue supplemental discipline because I toned it that way. Like, because the liability to me is now on the league office. Because multiple, and I'm not talking complaining about rule violations or diving. Let's throw that stuff aside. I'm talking about dangerous injury-related instances. And this was just one of them. So we weren't able to review it. I was furious with that. And no word of a lie, when he told me that you guys are mugging this poor little man, I took a deep gasp and my heart went into tachycardia. No word of a lie. My heart started beating fast. I was so awestruck by that comment by the official that I went in the locker room and had to lay down and get my heart to thump back into normal rhythm. It was beyond, in my mind, comprehension. So,
all right. Thanks, Coach. So let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more.
Hello. Would you like me to find workout classes near you?
There are no stores that sell glasses within 10 miles of your location.
There's enough artificial in the world. That's why Michelob Ultra is brewed with no artificial colors or flavors. With just 95 calories and 2.6 carbs. Superior light beer. Enjoy responsibly. 2019 Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri. 95 calories, 2.6 grams carbs, 0.6 grams protein, and 0.0 grams fat for 12 ounces.
The Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images invites you to join Husky Deals. When you join us on Husky Deals, you'll receive exclusive information about our upcoming promotions, sales, and events. Send your preferred email address to campusstore@mtu.edu, and we'll add you promptly. Stop by today or visit us online at bookstore.mtu.edu. Husky Deals from the Campus Store and University Images. Don't miss out. Join today. Thank you for your patronage, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
This is Bob Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. If something were to happen to you today, would your family be left with a financial burden to cover your debts and final expenses? Would they be able to maintain their same lifestyle without you? No matter your age and situation, there is an auto owner's life insurance policy to meet your unique needs, and an auto owner's life policy is likely more affordable than you think. Stop in at the Turvo Agency in Hancock and see how a life insurance policy from Auto Owners can provide the protection your family needs and deserves. Think life.
Welcome back to the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93. Just a couple of minutes left here. And one other comment. Coach, you were talking about save percentage record with at least 30 games played. We were talking about Mankato's goaltender.
Dryden McKay.
Thanks to Derek who sent this in. Ryan Miller had a 95% save percentage in 40 games played.
Hobie Baker winner.
In the 2000 to 2001 season.
My former goalie in junior hockey.
Yeah, and Jimmy Howard did break the save percentage record with Maine a couple of years later, but he only had 22 games played. So,
okay, gotcha.
So thanks to one of our listeners for sending that information in. And okay, Coach, so this week, I know the guys are getting some rest.
Yeah. Today's an off day. We need that. We need that recovery and that hydration and things. So it's a good – they're on break today, so they'll have a good chance just to get their bodies back. We'll get that tomorrow, practice Wednesday, leave, practice there Thursday, and then get ready for a good weekend.
So how much video will you do on the earlier series compared to Mankato's latest games? I mean, how does that – what's the balance of that as far as how you prepare for them?
We look for tendencies, just like they look for tendencies on us. So we'll use all information available to us to find tendencies that allow us a chance to have some success.
Okay.
So I mean, it's that now, other things.
In your mind, is there one more important in prepping for them on games? Because it has been such a long time.
Yeah, there's none more important. Whatever we pull out, no matter what we watch, we'll look and see, okay, is that, where does that fit in to the whole scheme of things? So.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. Game time on Friday night is 8:07 Eastern time. We'll be on the air at 7:30 exclusively on Mix 93 WKMJ. We'll have all the action for you. And Saturday night's game is, I see different, hold on here. I don't know if we have time to get this question in. We're just not going to have another offside question, but we'll have to save that for next week.
And there's no answer to it.
Yeah. I don't remember what I was saying now. But anyway, the game time is Friday
night. You don't know on Saturday if it's going to
be. I think it's a 7:07 start on Saturday. I've seen different times for this, but I think it's an hour earlier on Saturday. And then we might be even an hour earlier than that if necessary on Sunday. But regardless, we'll have the games for you. Good luck to Coach Kevin Luke's team, too.
Yeah, well, awesome. Good, great friend. We spent some time this morning together. Just, I'm so happy. People realize a couple things. They lost their point guard just a short time ago, and the play of, was it Bilski and White, I believe, it, going forward was just absolutely incredible, picking up that slack. So, great championship for the men's basketball team.
Thanks, Coach.